Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish Cakes, EB, and JP. That is the foursome. We got Mike Rizzo joining us at 9 o'clock. Yesterday, he was kind of taken to the woodshed by Ken Rosenthal, a longtime MLB writer. He writes, since winning the 2019 World Series, the Nationals ranked third in the major in losses, just one behind the Pirates and just 14 behind the Rockies. That's when he wrote it. Of course, they lost another game last night. His largest premise is that good teams both spend and develop. And clearly they're not spending like they used to. They used to be a top 10 spending team. Now they're in the bottom 10. They have been able to trade for some really good players like Mackenzie Gore and CJ Abrams, all part of the Juan Soto deal. But he points to the international signings being duds. He points to player development being duds. And he points mostly to the losses.
Well, he also, a big part of his thing is they're not able to retain these guys, and he's suggesting, and he's probably right, but who knows? I don't know how this is Mike's fault, that they're not going to be able to retain Wood if Cruz pans out.
Gore
and these guys, because they're Boris clients.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys always hit the market.
That's kind of a big part of his deal. Like, Wood is the real deal. I don't know how you can club their player development or scouting when you got a guy like him, but what can you do? He's got Scott Boris.
I think he's put Wood to the side, saying that Wood and Gore and those guys were part of the Soto deal. So he's giving credit for the Soto deal.
Yeah, he gives props to that.
But he's basically saying everything else garbage.
Yeah, but he's saying they're not going to be able to retain him.
It's possible because, first of all, like you mentioned, they're Boris clients. Mm-hmm. Number two, the Lerner family is not going to spend. If you just look at the payrolls for 2025, they are 26th in the league.
Yeah, but I could kind of write a little of that off because they don't want to spend now, but I'm hoping, because they have shown inclinations to pay guys in the past, that when they become super competitive, that they're willing to keep
a couple
guys. Yeah, but
the question is how far off is that?
And that's what Rosenthal's pointing out.
A couple years away.
He's saying by the time all of these young prospects get to the point where, all right, now you've got a good team.
Right.
Well, guys like Gore and Abrams they'll be free agents.
Right. And
will they retain them?
Be resigned.
Probably. But we'll see. But remember, and Rosenthal points this out in the article, but remember, and I think Rizzo saw this, he did an overhaul on the scouting department.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of, he's killing them because of the international scouting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Riz knew that, and he did a complete overhaul. He pretty much fired everybody in the scouting department.
Yeah, he needed to be revamped. He was aware of that.
So maybe that changes over the next 2-3 years.
I think he also notes in the article that he liked their 2024 draft.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
But, of course, the Nats have the number one overall pick, and do they go after a college player that's maybe 2 years away from playing in the bigs, or do they go after a high school that's probably 4 or 5 years away?
Does Holiday, is he already retained Boris? Is he going to have Boris? Does Jackson Holiday, the other one, has Boris? Yeah.
I assume if his brother does.
Yeah.
Are we giving the Nationals too much of a pass? If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Have we just gotten used to the losing? They're there with the Pirates and the Rockies.
Yeah,
in the last 5+ years.
It's not company you want to be in. It's not the neighborhood you want to be living in.
They won the World Series in 2019. That's great.
Not as bad as that.
But the rest of the way,
it might be record-wise, but the perception is, and I think it's fair, it's not as bad as the Pirates are already talking about giving up on Skeens because they know they're not going to be able to keep them. Like, literally talking about giving up on them now.
They're talking about trading them, yeah.
Nutty.
Well, the Pirates haven't said that.
Well, that's the rumors. That's the rumors. Because, you know, this is the time to get what you can get. Because when he's not pitching, they get like 6,000 fans. I was just there. It's shocking how dead the town is regarding the Pirates.
But you also, and look, I'm not saying everything that Rosenthal is saying about Riz is wrong. I mean, I'm a Riz guy, so I like to defend him as much as I can. But he, you know, Rosenthal knows more about the international scouting and the players and where they rank, where this farm system's ranked than I do. But I will say that he doesn't really talk about the fact that the learners aren't spending enough in this article. It seems like he's hammering Riz more than he is the learners.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the top 10 payrolls for this year, Mets, Phillies, Dodgers, Toronto, Yankees, Atlanta, Cubs, Houston, Padres, San Francisco. They all have winning records except for, I believe, Toronto. You've got to spend. Okay, and I'm not saying that these teams don't develop players. They clearly do. The Cubs have been really good at that. But the Cubs went out and got Kyle Tucker. I mean, Kyle Tucker is one of the best left-handed hitters in the game. And they are spending money, and most of those teams will be either in the playoffs or certainly in line for the playoffs come in September.
He doesn't spend that much time talking about that. He focuses more on the lack of player development. He points out that their minor league system is ranked 17th out of 30 teams. End of the article, we actually get quoted.
Yeah,
he points out Rizzo.
He was just on our show.
Rizzo has been president of baseball operations since 2009. Davey Martinez has been manager since 2017. They haven't changed it. But in July 2022, Rizzo told us on the show, this is a reboot year. We don't call it a rebuild because a rebuild is a 5 or 6 year process. Mm-hmm. I think this is a shorter reboot. We've shown in the past we know how to do these things.
Well, he's in year 3 of the reboot at this point.
Well, it's year 6 of the rebuild.
Right.
Yeah.
It also depends on how you count it. Remember, they won in 2019, 2020, 2021, whatever. It was all weird with all the COVID stuff. That was just weird. And then when they finally unloaded Turner and all those guys,
and
that's when it really started.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
But getting back to the payroll thing, I mean, it's embarrassing that the Kansas City Royals and the Colorado Rockies have a higher payroll than the Washington Nationals. Those teams should not be outspending a team in D.C. That's embarrassing.
I don't know how I feel about it because they're not expected to contend.
But
you might kind of understand the idea to keep it lean.
If you spent a little more money.
If you're 6 games under 500 with the 26th payroll,
right?
All right, what if you were the 19th payroll? You could be 2 games over 500.
Right. You could be in a wild card chase.
Mm-hmm. Right, you could. I mean, if you went out and signed 2 guys, they don't have to be superstars, but better than Josh Bell and Nate Lowe, maybe you're 2. That could be a 6 game difference.
Yeah.
It could be. Because all of the teams at the bottom, if you look at them, the Marlins, the A's, the Rockies, the one team that's been really good at low payrolls has been Tampa because they usually contend with a low payroll, so they do a good job developing players. But most of these teams are dead, and they just because they don't spend.
Well, here's a big problem. Here are your first round picks in the last 10 years or so. Dane Dunning.
Mm-hmm.
He was a pitcher out of Florida. Seth Romero, pitcher.
Problems.
Mason Denneberg, pitcher from a high school, Merritt Island High School. Jackson Rutledge, we continue to hear about him, but that was 2019.
At this point, he's a reliever with them.
But 2020, Cade Cavalli.
He's
dealing with injuries.
He's hopefully going to provide some reinforcements here shortly.
2021, Brady House. 2022, Elijah Green.
House is doing well. I think Green hasn't done that much, right?
Yeah, I mean, my point is...
You can't give up on those guys.
I'm not saying you give up on them. My point is that none of these guys are impact players right now.
Well, that's why Rizzo probably saw that, and he made changes, major changes in the scouting. Not just in the international, but the amateur level, too. So,
and I skipped your guy, Carter Kieboom.
Yeah.
That one is
They just
weird.
Have had a lot of guys. These are top draft choices. And I know this isn't the NFL or the NBA where first-round draft choices are locks, but that's a lot of first-round draft choices that have done nothing for the Washington Nationals to make them a better team.
But you have to realize that general managers, okay, right, they oversee the entire team and they make the ultimate decisions, but they rely heavily on the scouting departments.
I understand that.
Heavily. And because there's no way Riz is going out there watching all these amateur players and the international players. That's why these scouting departments are so big. So if he's making major changes to that, because he saw that, you know, the number one picks in the last 6-7 years aren't panning out, but you got to give him credit and his scouts of making that deal that got James Wood and Abrams, because they look like they're going to be really good for years to come. Let's see what happens with Cruz. Let's see what happens with Hassel.
It is disheartening, though. The Boris factor is extremely disheartening, and I don't know how you get around it. It's like a huge, like, fly in the ointment, right? Or, I mean,
I just think there's got to be more blame towards the Lerner family, because if they're not going to spend and they're heavily relying on these prospects who haven't developed yet, then what's Riz supposed to do?
Yeah, I think there's only so much.
I think
you
for them
do.
To compete, they have to have a top half of the league payroll. I mean, if they're down in the 20s, and the prospects aren't panning out, how would you expect this team to even have close to a 500?
But what you're talking about is like free agency. That's not scouting and drafting developing players.
There could be a lot we don't know. What if Riz went to Lerner and said, "All right, we really want this guy, okay, but he's going to cost you, you know, 5 years, $100 million.
Well, I'm sure they have done that.
And we don't know. I mean, Lerner might say, there's no chance I'm spending that kind of money.
No, I'm sure that that's happened.
So that's what we don't know.
But they're not criticizing them super in here for their free agency. They're criticizing them for their developing and drafting of players.
Correct.
That seems to be the bulk of this article.
But I guess my point is, if you combine the players that they've developed and acquired in these trades, these young kids, and if you couple that,
if you complemented them with a few free agents, they could be a lot more competitive.
They could be 500, if not above 500 now.
Yeah.
And if Lerner's not going to spend, if he's only going to spend $113 million, as opposed to what let's just throw the Toronto Blue Jays out there, $250 million? Well, I mean, you got no shot.
Well, just put yourself, though, in 2019 when they win the World Series and we're part of the parade and everything. I honestly thought that they'd keep a lot of those guys. I didn't think that we were necessarily guaranteed to lose Harp, Rendon.
Harper was already gone.
Yeah, Harp.
Turner. Right, Harp had just left the year before. Mm-hmm. I just didn't think that all those guys would be gone. So it's sort of as quickly as it did.
You probably thought, and I thought this too, I thought Soto would be a Nat forever because I thought that they would sign him to a huge deal. Now, they offered him a huge deal, and he turned it down. So they tried to keep him, but he wanted to be a free agent, and it turned out to be, you know, work out in his favor. He's signed a $700 million deal, but they at least tried.
Mm-hmm.
And it's free country.
I mean, certainly it's gone. It's gone longer than we had anticipated. I would agree with that. But you know what? Yeah. So is the Wizards.
Yeah.
I'm more frustrated with the Wizards than I am the Nats, to be honest with you.
Well, you should be. They haven't won a title since the late 70s. Of course you should be frustrated with them.
Just even in the recent years, when they've just been flat out tanking. Mm-hmm.
The thing that I look at with the Nats that I'm a little frustrated with is the pitchers. Okay, Gore is obviously really good. I don't know. I mean, I know he leads the league in strikeouts. I don't know if he's like an overall number one dominant pitcher. I don't know that. But Parker's now struggling. Jake Irvin, I think he's good. But, I mean, Trevor Williams, you know, some of these other guys. JoJo Gray's been hurt, so you really can't blame him for that. But
also, Cavalli being hurt. They were relying on him big time.
Rutledge is a reliever. I mean, I don't know where the depth is in starting pitching. I don't know if they have got some studs that are going to be true number ones, number twos down in the system, because they need to get better there, I think.
It doesn't look like they're on the cusp of like winning 90 games. It doesn't look like it at this point.
No, not anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, not when you have the 26th payroll.
Yeah. Well, maybe you could say they might be if all these young guys were on fire.
If these guys all get better? Yeah, I mean, correct. But, I mean, they've got a bunch of 23-year-olds and younger in the lineup. I mean, besides the, you know, the Lowe's and the Bells. I mean, Bell's hitting 151. They went and signed him for it was a one-year deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't even be in the lineup. Josh Bell should not be in the lineup. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Shouldn't 151, you're not helping. You're hurting the team.
Still looking at that back of the baseball card.
Hey, I have 153. Let's not take those .02 whatever.
No, he's hitting 151 after last night.
Okay, maybe this isn't caught up.
He went 0 for 2.
Got it. Should Mike Rizzo bear more of the blame? I get what you're saying with international scouting, and you have these huge scouting departments, but at some point, the guy on top, the guy who's running the whole organization,
he's to blame. I get it.
Is culpable.
Yeah. And I'm sure there is some blame there to share, but I think that this article with Rosenthal should focus more on the fact that the payrolls have been so low, and there's got to be a reason. If he's not willing to spend and you're just relying on young players, I mean, these teams that are going to the playoffs and winning World Series, they don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Certainly any general manager would want to go out there and salt and pepper his roster with better players than Nate Lowe and Josh.
I think Mike Rizzo doesn't want a $200 million payroll to spend to burn through some of that money.
Yeah, and maybe it's not bats. Maybe it's pitchers. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were looking at a couple of pitchers that would have been in the lineup, but Lerner said, nope, I'm not doing that. Let's rely on the guys that you've drafted.
But it is depressing. Again, I can't get over it. To just think, Wood's going to be here another year or two. Then they're going to have to move him. To get a haul.
Enjoy him while he's here.
That is depressing.
Well, they got him. Enjoy the time while he's here. They got him for like 5 more years.
Yeah, but they probably give up on him with like 3 years left. So
yeah,
they'll
Soto him.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe we'll see. But
yeah, I mean, they're not going to do it all the way up until the 5th year.
I think
they're gonna get rid of him.
Who knows who the owner
is? To get the haul.
Okay, but who knows who the owner will be in 5 years? It might be someone else who's willing to spend. Well, who knows if Riz is here?
2 years is probably when it matters.
800-636-1067. What do you make of the Nationals rebuild/reboot? It's been since 2019 since they've had a winning record.
Are you frustrated?
Ken Rosenthal writes about the lack of player development, the lack of spending, and a future which maybe pretends these guys who are actually being developed bouncing. 800-636-1067. Your call's next here on the Junk.
By the way, Tennis-a-palooza in the studio today.
It's on both screens.
Jason's got French Open on 2 different screens.
I only put it on the one on the right. The one on the left was already on.
How is it possible it's on 2 screens?
I mean, Tennis Channel and ESPN.
They're both having live
coverage. Or is that
coverage?
TNT? Well, I can't quite tell.
No, TNT on the right.
Yeah, TNT definitely has coverage.
I think this is ESPN.
No, it's TNT.
I don't know. It's
TNT.
It must be on a delay.
It says TNT on the left.
Yeah, it must be on a delay.
I don't know.
Or maybe it's on 2 different networks. You know,
it's on a bunch of networks.
TBS,
it's also on
TNT.
HBO somehow.
Is it?
Our poll yesterday, do you care about the French Open? 85% were no.
Well, I don't care about, doubles. But if there's a big singles match, I definitely
anyway, I just noticed it. We've been doing the show for an hour and a half. I just noticed both TVs. I think Cakes just
it's
noticed
a lot of red clay.
It's a
there.
Lot of clay. Yeah.
JP always takes glee in taking shots that he plays in real life.
What do you mean?
He's taking glee in people that tennis isn't popular. He takes glee in taking shots at golf all the time. But he plays tennis and golf.
Right.
He's a tough guy to figure out.
What do you care?
I just would like to understand you.
I'm just pointing out the reality.
Wait, everyone knows tennis isn't popular in America. We haven't had a Grand Slam champion in like 2 decades.
Tennis is very niche-y.
Probably Andy Roddick is probably the last one, right?
Yeah.
And I don't even know.
He was relatively nubs.
We got excited for TFO when we had a shot. We had excited for TFO.
So we're talking about the Nationals. Ken Rosenthal wrote this article about them becoming a bottom feeder. He actually prefaced it by saying, hey, here are the bottom feeders that come to mind. The Rockies, the Pirates, the White Sox, the Marlins. But then he pointed out,
he said, don't sleep on the Nats. Because
here's where the Nats are. They're third in the majors in losses since they won the World Series. And they might have actually tied the Pirates. Did the Pirates win last night? Because they were one loss behind the Pirates.
They did win last night.
Yeah, so they're even with the Pirates. They're second. Mm-hmm. Moving up the rankings, and that's not a good rankings to be. So we want to hear from you. I actually just put up a poll of the day. Jason asked me why I was looking for a third choice. Our Surfside poll of the day. Surfside iced tea and vodka, Surfside lemonade and vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can's only 100 calories with zero carbonation for easy sipping. You can find Surfside at your local bars and in convenient variety 8-packs, your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. The poll is, who deserves the blame? Is it the ownership? Is it Mike Rizzo? And then Jason gave me a third option. Is it the evil Scott Boras?
Well, you asked for a third option. That was the only one I could come up with.
I mean, I'm not going to blame an agent for a team failing to come to agreement
with his clients.
I was kind
of kidding. Yeah. I was kidding.
I mean, yeah, kind of a tough one to blame.
It is kind of his fault because we lost a bunch of his clients. The only one we kept, we probably should have got rid of.
Strauss?
Yeah. All right, let's bang out some of these calls. 800-636-1067. Where do you stand on it? It is kind of frustrating. I'm still more frustrated in the Wizards than I am the Nats. But, man, especially when you start to think about the Boras clients that are on this roster that you're kind of banking on, it could get you into a kind of a funk. It could get you into the depression sure. pretty quickly.
You can vote out. At Junks Radio or call
what
us.
What would you do?
800-636-1067.
If the Holiday Kid, let's just say, and I know he's not the unanimous number one, let's just say that he was, and he's a Boras client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shouldn't still, be a factor in my mind.
You still have to take him.
You still have you to take him even though you know player? You're only going to get because a you three have or four year run with him at the big leagues?
No, how about sign the right guys? Like, that's on the organization. The organization is
I'm
screwed
not sure
up.
You can do
I
that.
I can't just put it on Boras.
No, it's not that it's Boras.
It's a combination.
Fault. Listen, Boras is going to take his guys to free agency to get the best offer, and you can't always anticipate or necessarily beat the best offer. Mm. You can't always do that. It's kind of out of your control.
It's not out of your control. Sometimes you can be the best offer.
Yeah, but not necessarily. You can't anticipate. You can't anticipate that Juan Soto would later get $750 million. And that your $440 million offer is going to fall $300 million short.
I get it. But sometimes you got to pay the Piper to retain
it's
your players.
It's fine to pay. It's fine to pay. And they should pay. You should pay to retain great players. But he's just, his method, 9 times out of 10, is take them to the free agency and put the team in a pickle and get such an offer.
That you can't refuse it.
He's doing right by his clients. That's why his clients pay him the money.
Hey, I agree.
Other teams have figured it out.
But man, puts you in a tough spot.
Well, other teams have figured it out. And this isn't a tiny market.
How many teams like, retain that's the thing. Boras clients? Not that many.
This is not a tiny market. They've been a top 10 salary team for years.
Mm-hmm.
Like and then they just tapped out of that.
Well, because they
and you sound like you just would be an owner that would tap out. Like, I'm just not going to deal with Boras. You can't tap out. He's got the top dogs.
I would maybe draft different players.
I'm sorry.
I might.
But the Nats, they should be spending way more money than a team like the Reds. I mean, the Reds, they're dead equal.
Where are the Reds? Are they?
I mean, the Nats are listed on the spot track list at 22nd, and then the Reds are 23rd with basically $113 million each.
And you said the Royals are above them.
Royals are spending $119. $6 million.
I'm kind of okay with saving money when you know you're going to be sorry. I'm kind of okay with it.
So they're you're going to be sorry. It's chicken or egg, right? You're going to be sorry because you're not spending money.
I agree. There's there's element of that.
There's a correlation there.
But the idea is they're waiting for the young players to arrive, and then you sprinkle in with the free agents.
Yeah, but if you keep whiffing on first round picks.
Well, that you can't do that. That hurts. All right, let's go to Charlie in Arlington. Charlie, what's up?
Yeah, there's three ways to get the players. You get it through free agency, through trades, or the draft. And on free agency, I don't hold that against Rizzo. They haven't let him spend money, and that's not on him. As far as trades, he has, like, absolutely stolen players from other teams. He has won trades, the San Diego, both the trades with San Diego, even some of the lesser ones. He's been great at trading capital and getting great return, but the draft is where they've whipped, and you know that's the whole organization. He's not the only one picking the players, but ultimately, you know, he's the guy that oversees the scouting and the operations.
Well, that's why he fired everybody.
Yeah,
and well, they've gone through a couple regimes there, but they just have not drafted well enough to rebuild faster. That's what it boils down to.
Right. Thank you. I think that's fair.
I mean, I can't argue with that.
I think that's fair, Charlie.
And hopefully that gets better from last year, which the 2024 draft looks pretty good just based on the numbers. And then hopefully this year having the number one pick, they got to hit on that guy, whether it's going to be Holiday or the kid from Florida State, the pitcher, Jamie Arnold, I think is his name. Whoever they take, got to hit on.
You got to give the fans credit, though, because they've done a decent job of still showing up. Right?
What are they? I think they're averaging around 26,000.
Pretty darn good.
Yeah,
it's not bad at all.
I think they had 37,000 at one of the home games this past weekend against the Giants.
Yeah,
a lot. 37,000.
Let's go to Greg in Upper Marlboro. Greg, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Greg.
I think it's a couple of different factors. When we won the championship, we never got to capitalize on winning the championship because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
The learners are in real estate. They lost a lot of money during that time period.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that's where the penny pinching began during that time period.
Yep.
Which also helped magnified by the draft, not drafting as well without the benefit of having that extra, that capital. This has kind of been what it was. Now, Rizzo has made great trades. However, trades are not going to carry the situation because even in those years, he was always able to go out and supplement with a free agent or two coming in. That's how we got Max and Worth and those other guys. These are all free agents. So, again, I think it's a combination of three different things. And, again, we just in this pattern until eventually I think he's going to eventually sell the team. So,
maybe that's the ultimate conclusion. And I'm not going to give them the learners a pass just for COVID for losing money. Everybody lost money. I'm not talking about just baseball teams. Everybody was losing money during those years. Your guys sitting here included.
Yeah.
So
true.
Let's not just say
outside income was critically affected.
Okay, well, so was yours. And so was mine.
Oh, I know.
So
I know.
800-636-1067.
Yeah, but it affects bottom line. It affects business.
Yeah. Danny tweets us. I'd blame Strasburg and Corbin. It's unrealistic for ownership to retain every star player. If those two had been remotely close to living up to their salaries in the post-World Series years, it would be different.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say this. If James Wood keeps on this trajectory and he's a homegrown kid and he's your franchise cornerstone, and then he just goes off and signs with the Mets or the Dodgers or the Yankees, That's going to be a pretty dark day for this franchise.
I think it's going to happen
if they've cultivated him for all these years.
I would have to bet on it happening.
If you
had to put money on it, where would you put your money? You
based
put it
on past,
the 10% they keep him?
I don't know what I would bet.
That'd be a bad bet.
I mean, the smarter money is that he probably wouldn't be retained.
Right.
He'd probably sign elsewhere.
Some players, look, he's making, what, 800 grand this year?
Yeah, he's making a pittance.
Some players will sign early deals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ruiz did it. K.B.R. Ruiz signed an 8-year, what was it,
million.
About 60?
Mm-hmm. I think 60, he got 50
50 million.
Million.
Didn't Acuna sign a relatively team-friendly deal a few years back?
He's getting like 17 million a year.
Yeah.
And it kind of depends on who the agents are, but would you have a problem, even though you've got Wood for another 3-4 years, whatever, before arbitration.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I totally would give him
Would you
that.
Give him, I don't know, $300 million?
Oh, I don't know, $300 million, but I would
probably
give him a bunch
if he has
to try
big,
to keep him.
Hold on. If he has big years in the next two in the pre-arbitration years, because you go for pre-arbitration, then you go to arbitration. Mm-hmm. If he's got two more big years, why not give him like $300 million? He'll be, 24 years old?
Show me where to sign. Show me where to sign.
Now, maybe he doesn't take it because maybe he feels like, well, I'm a $600 million player.
Right, he could
when
think.
I'm
sure Boris is telling him that.
But we don't know. I mean, James Wood and his family might say, we don't want to wait another 5 years.
Right.
Let's just take the money now.
He's so nonchalant and so unfazed by everything. He might actually be a candidate.
To do that?
To do that.
He might.
You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't seem like he really cares about, like,
mm-hmm.
the looks and being a star.
And being, oh, he doesn't
You know
care
what
that.
I mean? He doesn't seem like that kind of guy.
It's the last thing he cares about.
He's not like Bryce, you know, with a purple bat or a pink bat. Or, you know what I mean? Always making it all about him.
Not going to have a gender reveal bat for James Wood.
No, he's not doing that. Just not doing that.
Hey, you know what's not a great look, though? Patrick Corbin pitching well for the Texas Rangers.
What's he doing?
He's got a 3.7 ERA. It was like 3.2 earlier in the season. I mean, Patrick Corbin, you couldn't count on him to go two innings here in D.C. for year after year after year. He finally leaves, gets with a different pitching staff and coaches, and he turns into a more than accomplished pitcher.
That's weird. I don't get it.
That is crazy. 3.75 ERA right now.
Yeah, you would have killed for that.
I mean, his ERA is from 21 through 24 here in D.C. 5.8, 6.3, 5.2, 5.6.
To me, that's coaching.
Maybe.
I mean,
I'm sure that's
fixing mechanical issues. Yeah.
Maybe. Let's see if it continues.
Maybe.
Let's see if it continues.
I mean, the Rangers pitching staff.
We're 2 months in.
The Rangers pitching staff overall, I mean, he's getting supported by three legit arms. I mean, they have like three legit number one pitchers because.
Well, Corbin's not being supported by them when he goes
on
the
mound.
Well,
kind of, because when he was here, he was basically the number one until Gore got here. And you could argue Gore versus Corbin, but Corbin was the guy who in the lineup you'd probably say he's their number one or number two. Down in Texas, he's not even close.
Yeah, but so that shouldn't affect how he pitches, though, right?
I'm not saying he's not a better. He's probably getting coached up. I'm just saying that there was more pressure on him here to win games. And he didn't have the lineup and the support, especially the pitching staff.
We were told that Patrick Corbin was the problem. He's clearly an MLB pitcher. And he wasn't he wasn't here. He was embarrassing.
All right, let's go to Zach.
Maybe there are other reasons, but yeah, I agree.
Zach in Fairfax. What's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep, sure.
You know, I definitely blame the Learners because they obviously don't want to spend the money that they have to get players. But, you know, this problem is endemic throughout baseball. You got these teams that refuse to spend any money on talent, on players. There's no floor to what they don't have to spend, and there's no cap. I mean, you look at the rich teams, they're constantly, you know, Steve Cohen has millions and millions and millions of dollars, and he can shell it out for Juan Soto, and then the Learners don't have anything. They're not even going to try. There's no floor in Major League Baseball. How are they able to, you know, compete if they're not forced to?
I mean, it's a good question that you posit.
Yeah,
like if they don't have to spend a certain amount of money, if there's no, like, salary cap floor that you have to hit. They don't have to spend any money if they don't want to.
They do have the money. The Learners have the money. They don't have to necessarily.
I think they're just more. There are more voices in the room that we realize, besides just Mark Learner. There's a bunch of family members in there, and who knows how many of those want to sell the franchise and who doesn't.
Oh, there's definitely a rift there.
I think there's got to be. Yeah. And there could be family members that want to spend more money on the players, and maybe Mark says, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I don't know. It is frustrating. The years are starting to stack up. Rizzo doesn't seem particularly pressured by it. I know it destroys him every time they lose.
No, Rosenthal pointed out that it seems like Rizzo and Martinez are comfortable. They've been here for so long.
Yeah, but you've been in the box with them. I mean, he lives and breathes with every pitch. He's not happy with the losing.
I mean, comfortable in their position. Yeah. Like they're not worried about being fired.
Right. I know we got to go break. Can I just do one more thought on the coaching? Chris, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I just had to call and say Drab was totally right. It's the coaching, man. They do weird lineups all the time. The pitching, they come in and be great pitchers and they turn around and be flubs later on. I mean, baseball is the one sport that coaches get overlooked oftentimes, or managers get overlooked over time, and you don't realize how bad they are. They got to fix the coaching.
Who's their pitching coach right now? Does the name jump out?
I'd have to look it up.
I remember the ones in years past. I don't know who it is right now. I mean, there are some pitching coaches just have ridiculous resumes. Right?
Jim Hickey.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, I remember when we had like Maddox's brother. Like he was a silly pitcher.
He's been there. Hickey's been here a few years, right?
Yeah,
he was.
Ironically,
here.
Maddox is the Rangers pitching coach.
He's the one that's doing wonders with him. He's supposed to be a very good one. I don't know.
Coming up next, what's dirtier than your toilet that you find in your bathroom? All right, so this article about your bathroom having an item dirtier than your toilet.
I'm going to guess something. It's going to be revolting.
Let me just say this.
I want to guess.
The New York Post recycles very similar articles because I put in a Google search, bathroom, dirtier, toilet, and it punched up this article from 2023. So I'm going to tell you two items. One's in your bathroom and something else that is dirtier, but tell me the similarity of these headlines. Headline number one, this bathroom item is dirtier than your toilet.
Okay.
Experts warn.
Right.
Headline number two, the thing you touch every day is filthier than your toilet.
All right.
I mean, it seemed pretty similar.
All right. So first of all, I'm going to say.
Bathroom item.
Toothbrush.
It is not your toothbrush.
Not the toothbrush.
Thank God.
Bathroom item, not the toilet.
Is it a
you
part
wash
of the
your toothbrush more than twice a year? You wash it every day.
Is it a part of the toilet or is it something that's you,
no,
you
it's put something,
in? I mean, is it part of the bathroom or is it something you put in the bathroom?
It's something you put in the bathroom. Right. You don't have to have one, but most people have them.
Like the soap dispenser. Soap dispenser.
I have a guess. The toilet brush.
Not the toilet
brush.
No.
The plunger has to be
bathroom mats.
Oh, bathroom mats.
Who washes bathroom mats? Now, we have fabric ones.
Like, pee on it
those, It's like if you're stepping into the shower. Now, yeah. We have, like, little rugs.
I mean, we wash those all the time.
We wash the rugs, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
Just leave
them there. You're a donk.
Or what about the ones that have, like, the little suction cups?
Mm. Yeah.
The rubber things?
Yeah.
But that's in your toilet. That's in your tub.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you should wash them.
I suppose.
Hold on. Okay. People still use the things as suction cups on the bottom of the...
Yeah, maybe inside the toilet.
Maybe if you don't have a no slip like surface,
yeah,
like
you don't want your parent to fall down or something.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do people still have the carpet rug around the toilet?
No.
Or is that a thing of the past?
That has to
be a remnant
of the past.
I don't think we have that around the toilet, but we definitely have bathroom carpets. You know, little.
Well, yeah, in front of the sink and the
like,
bath.
They're like 3 feet.
My mom used to love those. We definitely had those growing up.
I never got a size for them because you're standing in pee.
Yeah. Well, like if you have a fully carpeted bathroom, you don't.
Yeah.
Some people do have those.
My parents still have the rugs.
They do in the bathroom.
My mom loved those things. And you can buy them for a set because, like, when we were helping some people furnish their apartment, I bought a cheap set of, like, bathroom stuff that came with towels and everything was all matching. And it came with one of those things to put around the toilet.
The thing that goes right around the toilet?
Yeah, the little...
I mean, that's where all the pee-pee is.
Yeah, that should just...
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you sit down barefoot...
I tell you, when I go to the bathroom, like, you know, I'm in these convention centers all the time. And a row of, urinals. You look down at the floor... You want to puke.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll stand 2 or 3 feet away from the toilet.
Yeah.
And I'll just rainbow one, three-pointer in there because there's so much pee on the floor.
Well, just look at the bathrooms here. The bathrooms here.
I actually don't really look at the floor here.
Oh, the floors are
a mess.
Is
the floor wet?
No, I think that the staff comes in and mops it every day. I think
they're pretty good.
They're pretty good, but sometimes
they're good with the floor. They're not good with the wall.
I'll tell you where they're
not good with the wall. The booger boy has like
maybe not the wall.
It's clean. I mean, it's a show.
You need to just set up a camera.
Yeah, need to catch.
It's a show.
It's probably illegal.
Potty cam.
But you got to have a cam.
There were like five or six of those. They're all kind of like bloody.
Yeah, it's really
it's
gross.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Well, if you picked a lot of bugs, you probably have some blood on there.
Mm-hmm. Please just use the tissue. Just use the tissue. That's what the tissues are for. The paper towels, that's what they're there for.
I tell you, airports, though, their bathrooms, by and large, they're getting cleaner.
They are?
Yes.
Airport bathrooms are?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's something. I think
you spend a lot more time in there than I do.
I'm telling you, they're getting cleaner. They're cleaning them.
Because I've been in some Reagan National airports that are not very clean. Now that probably a couple years ago.
Dude, I'm going into airports and they have like high-end Toto toilets.
Really?
Like really high-end stuff.
Okay.
And people are in there mopping all the time. Mm. And they even have iPads outside the thing. And it says, were you happy with the bathroom?
Okay.
And you could actually put yes or no as you walk out.
I still feel like it's hard to believe that the bathroom mats are dirtier than the toilet, the inside of a toilet.
Well, or
the
toilet
seat. You just might get more mildew because of the water. Like if you're stepping out of the shower and then you step onto your bathroom mat outside of the shower.
You're getting pee-pee in fecal matter, probably. Particles.
All those things.
Okay, but there's waste inside the toilet bowls, too. There's still waste in there.
Yeah, but at least it's
doesn't
being
get it. The water doesn't get it all.
No, it doesn't, but at least it's kind of
and
flush.
The toilet seat, you're... Butts sitting there. I mean, unless you wash your toilet seat every day, and most people don't.
So anyway, that's inside the bathroom. The thing that you touch every day.
Well, they always say the phone.
Which is filthier than your toilet, not your phone. And it's something that you probably never clean. We all touched it today.
Computers.
Computer keyboard.
My keyboard's filthy. Like literally
in your car.
You can see the dirt.
Oh, the shift?
Steering wheel?
Steering wheel.
Your steering wheel's butt dirty. I just touched mine 3 minutes ago.
You had to move your car?
Had to move it.
Right.
I mean, I didn't have to move it, but I'm a conscientious Odyssey employee.
Yeah.
I share the electricity with others in the building.
This article cites a luxury car cleaner who says, you wouldn't go weeks without washing your hands, but drivers go months without wiping down the one surface they touch every single day.
Your steering wheel.
Do I ever clean the steering wheel?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Every once in a while when you do a little, like a total, you're just cleaning your car out, like, you get some stuff.
You bring like a wipe in. You give it a cursory wipe.
You're usually getting like the dust off, not
but
the
maybe
germs.
Like, but maybe like once a year. For me, once a year.
There's probably so much duty on it.
Probably everything.
Well, imagine boogers. Boogers. Yeah.
I'm
sneezing.
In my nose. I'm in my nose.
Yeah.
So much sneezing when you're driving. And just
yeah, my steering wheel's probably
snot
filthy.
All over
coughing.
It.
Yeah. I shave in my car. I mean, yeah, my car's filthy.
Still do that?
That's so nubs.
It's just knock it out while I'm driving.
He shaves while watching YouTube while he's driving.
Yeah. Yeah. He's focused.
Well, the rest of us are all in danger.
I'm a multitasker.
Stay away from the Bickles.
Yeah. It's good, probably a good idea.
Everything's dirty. Look at me. You think this keyboard isn't dirty that I'm looking
dude,
at?
Dude, mine, you
well,
could
I can
literally
see multiple
you see
colors
the dirt.
On your
yeah, this is
I can see like nacho cheese on this. Like from Doritos.
Oh, they're so good.
You know? I mean, Cakes, look at mine's visibly dirty.
I mean, I know mine's dirty. Yours is dirtier.
This could be the Booger Boys computer.
You may be the culprit.
No,
we
I'm not.
Put a camera on you.
I'm not putting boogers on the wall.
Thank God. It's a horrible thing.
Yeah, I cleaned it once.
We work with monsters.
Not cleaning it again.
We literally work with monsters here in D.C.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to do it. You should tell the guy. You tell the guy with the mop. You tell
I
him.
I see him often. A lot of times I don't go to the bathroom during the show.
See him almost every day. I'll tell him. I never notice it.
Okay, I guess you don't stand at the far left
I stand
left
at the urinal,
urinal,
but I don't look at the wall. I guess I'm looking
it's
at my
right
Johnson.
It's right in front of you.
I'm just shocked that there are multiple days, like during the week, where JP doesn't go to the bathroom during the show.
He doesn't
I don't
drink
think
that much.
I don't think there's been a show that yeah, we've dude. Done in our history where I haven't gone to the bathroom.
I usually drink this whole thing.
That's not much.
And you don't have to pee before you leave?
No.
Well, I have a squirrel bladder then, because I got to pee like every
no,
hour.
He when he pees,
but yours is probably habit too.
His is like a nuclear waste when it's like,
he's holding it all in.
Fluorescent pee when he goes.
No, it's not true.
You don't have silly clear. Yours is like fluorescent.
It's not true.
Yeah, it's gotta have a test. Dude, I put my money on Cakes clear than you.
Mine's gonna be pretty clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
though I haven't guzzling coffee. I haven't had one sip of water today. Had a Coke Zero, about three cups of coffee.
Drink that agua.
Are you going to do any? Here, you want some of the water?
No, I'm not going to drink out of the world's largest water
this
container.
This has been freshly cleaned because, you know, this is the thing that people sleep on. These, you know, mine's not fancy, but, you know, what are the ones that everybody has?
Yeah, Stanleys.
They have the Stanleys or the, now those are the new one, like the Awalas or whatever
don't
they
know.
Are. But you gotta keep, they have all the mildew inside the thing. The little stopper, the rubber stopper.
Okay.
You gotta,
if you say so.
Yeah, you got to keep it clean.
Coming up next is the commander's name getting popular.